Back in 1905, somebody changed the Constitution, said the poll tax could not any longer be charged. That's what it used to say. Well, they wiped that out, so now they can charge income tax. Everybody's fine for making a living. And all kinds of wild things proceed, you see, from this point. Well, of course, there were no records to say why they had this. You know, there were none of the arguments as to why this existed or was put in by the Constitutional Convention, you see. No arguments were available to anybody to refute this proposed amendment to the Constitution about 1905. Here's missing data, some kind of. And here's George. Well, what did George stand for? What did he mean? What did he want? Everybody was perfectly happy. At the time of the Revolution, they were perfectly interested in him. They thought he was a nice guy. Everything was fine. Everybody believed him. The only reason the Revolution got to any place at all was because of George. A terrific figure of a man. This guy had the country in his grip. Actually, he had to protest many times against becoming king of the United States. Everybody wanted to make him king. He said, no, no, no. We don't know what his basic purpose was. We don't know what the basic purpose agreed upon by all the founders of the United States was. We read the propaganda which issues from their writings. Give you some kind of an idea. This is not quite political, but the United States Naval Academy issues the letters of John Paul Jones. And this is the most flagrant example I know of. Their booklet on the letters of John Paul Jones is what they want every midshipman to become. And frankly, they make a bunch of clowns out of them. Because they've excerpted all these letters. The true letters of John Paul Jones, without anything cut out of them, show you a very lively sort of a bird who was all over the ship all the time and believed in all kinds of things and was very enterprising and fantastically energetic and who had many opinions and who believed naval officers should have opinions and all kinds of things, you see, that have now been carefully cut out of the letters before they're published for the budding young naval officer. In return, we get the stark patriotic statement, you see. We don't get that you ought to teach midshipmen to dance. See? That's all missing. There's an alteration here. See, there's an alteration to the goal or the basics or the fundamental. Now, he was the founder of the American Navy. I won't say anything particularly against the American Navy. There's no reason to. It exists. But if I see one more ensign become admiral, fattened on the letters of John Paul Jones excerpted, I'm afraid I'll be impolite to him. I have been known to be impolite to him already. Because he isn't true. He isn't real. There's something missing. No reason to analyze what's missing, but basically the fundamentals of his education have been alterized. The things which he ought to know and understand aren't there. And that alone would break him down into a sort of an apathy. He would sort of smell the missingness in there, see? He would see there's something he didn't quite understand or wrap his wits around. And therefore, he would never really spring full-armed into a sailor of war. There'd be something restraining his going forthness. He'd tend to solidify right in his tracks. You could expect him then to be rather defensive, rather unimaginative, perhaps a little frightened, and very, very careful of what he did. Where's the bold sea dog that you normally think of as a ruler of a navy? Well, he's not to be found. He's got a fantastic altruism on his educational life. Everybody thinks, well, you should teach these boys to do this and to do that, and you should teach them some more of this, and you should teach them some more of that, and some more of this, and alter is it, and when we get all through, we'll add it all alter is, and it'll all be wonderful. You'll find it'll just get more solid, more apathetic, and more quit. Basic purpose, alter is, creates mass. But similarly, it creates a degeneration of tone. Inevitably creates a degeneration of tone. Now, some of you think, once in a while that I have altruist in Scientology and Dianetics far too much. Well, if you think that hard, you don't recognize that we're running independent of the sequence of time. We're running a backwards track. In other words, we're cutting into the most fundamental that we can cut into, regardless of the continuous forward progress of time, you see. And we're swimming against the time stream, in actual fact. All right, we suddenly come up with this, and on isolation of importances, discover that we're back in 51, 52, you see. Basic purpose, you know, basic postulate. What's the prime postulate of the universe? Book one. Actually, December 1949, not even 50, is basic purpose in Book 1. Our isolation of important materials and shedding off the unimportant materials and occasionally going down cul-de-sacs, occasionally getting into blind turns, you know, and say, what are we doing here? A wonderful example is 3D crisscross. I received a cheerful dispatch saying, after we've trained all of our students here to do 3D crisscross, is it all right for them? Boy, they had an air letter going out of here so fast its edges were charring. Don't do 3D crisscross, man. Why? Well, it actually came just before I found out about prime postulate. So you do a 3D crisscross line or anything like a pre-have line, that's the ridge that I ran into just before I found prime postulate. I thought you could go on and list. Enough interesting things happened about listing to demonstrate that listing was quite a process. But it also demonstrated that it makes a hell of a lot of difference what you list. Mm-hmm. And you mustn't list anything at random, and you must never list a wrong goal, because it just adds more alteris to the bank. So 3D crisscross was actually alter-ising the PC's goal, unless, oh, God, a million to one chance that he should have his goal in one line. 10 million to one. All right, so we bit in little cul-de-sacs and that sort of thing. But note, I pull out of them in an awful hurry and cut to a more fundamental. And you're in the happy state right now of being on a plateau, this particular character, that is just the data of late spring and early summer 1962. And it makes package all by itself, and you get this special check sheet that contains the bulk of it. And I've just issued a policy letter for staff training around in central organizations, which, with a few more items added, is just the last few weeks of development, is all that contains, and that's their staff training check sheet and nothing else. Right? And you, unfortunately, picking up a GAE, possibly think to yourself that you are being victimized by being put on this special check sheet, and it probably hasn't been pointed out to you that you all have to pass this check sheet anyhow. And naturally, if you get a GAE, there's time for you to study on the check sheet. So you're not really being assigned the check sheet because you got a GAE. You've all been assigned the check sheet, whether you're going on auditing or not. That's modernization, but it's a plateau. You've hit it suddenly, and I haven't put up very many electric light bulbs or that sort of thing around, or fired off many rockets. But I'm at a point where, what am I going to write for bulletins? Interesting state for me to be in. So I'm refining bulletins and reissuing the bulletins. And today did you a policy letter, 17 July, on the exact prep check for listing goals or lines. It's a nice prep check. It's all the slotted lines. You put the PC's name at the top of it, and then you just run the prep check down. You make out a form every time you do a prep check. Yeah. Just line after line, slot after slot, and get each one of those null and turn it over and get the rest of those things null. You've done a listing prep check. And yesterday did your goals prep check. How do you check out a goal? It just does it on this form and so forth. Well, I suppose we go along a little while and find out that there's some other button we ought to add to the thing and reissue the prep check. That's about where you stand now, because you stand at the pinnacle of success. See, it is happening. And I'm not making any allowance at this particular time of whether you find it easy to learn how to do this or not. I'm making no allowance for this whatsoever. I'm just saying, well, you can learn. Now, not just throwing it off, but because I don't know any other road around it. I know no way to proof the technology up so that you will never longer have to run an e-meter. I don't know how to do this. I'll tell you how far away we are on research. I'm actually researching some sort of a technology that if you kicked off from Earth or a billiard ball under atomic fission or something like that, you wouldn't have to make an e-meter in order to clear somebody. That's the echelon of research I have just entered into. And then improvement research, improving the thing, or this very high-flown, what the hell do you do about that? Well, I don't know. I might crack it and I might not. All Scientologists have a slight anxiety. What if I kick the bucket? How much of the information would I pack along with me? See, they all have this. So what I'm really trying to do is make out the information package you take along with you. But there's about where we stand. Now, as far as Altariz is concerned, we've done this incredible thing of, while going forward on the contract, we've run the fundamentals back. All right, now we're at a fundamental that runs out everything we've put on the contract. You see, anything developed in Scientology or in Dianetics is now run outable by the exact technology which you have. It runs itself out rather easily. It can be put together, in other words. All right, so much for that. Unless you follow some such operating pattern as this, you then can't backtrack this terribly complicated thing called structure, matter, energy, space, time, whether a reactive mind or a universe. You can't backtrack this terrific complexity to a sufficient simplicity to be able to do something about it. You see? Well, that's what we've done. We've brought it back now, and we find out, great surprise, surprise to me too, you see. What's wrong with it? The PC's gone. Well, that isn't what's right with the PC, that's what's wrong with him. George Washington is not what is right with the United States, it's what is wrong with the United States. See? That is pretty weird. It's a complete whizzer. We've had a whizzer run on us. You see? This guy goes on being loyal, and he goes on being a lot of other things, and he doesn't know what he's doing wrong. He's doing something wrong, and he's caving in and falling on his head and unable to do his job and betraying everybody, and eventually we sort out his goal and we find out it's to be loyal. You see? That was probably the goal of Benedict Arnold. If the individual is no longer able to adequately do something, it's probably his goal. If he isn't happy about doing this thing, see. You got a goal to harpoon whales. We always be thinking about harpooning whale and always missing or unable to find a boat or find whales or something. It'll be the one thing that kind of makes you sigh and that you retreat from. See, a lot of things haywire about this. It's very dangerous to tell you this because it's slightly invalidative. You go. You see? And nevertheless, I have to tell you, it's the truth of the thing. Now, let us consider the goal a finite truth. Now, it isn't completely true that the goal is everything that is wrong with the person. What is really wrong is the alter-isness of that goal. If the person never alter-is the goal, he would probably be all right. You see? Now you can say what's wrong with him is his goal, but it's a little bit too short a statement. Now what's wrong with him is the alter is of his goal, the alteration of his goal, the departures from his goal line, his inabilities to commit this goal to action. See, that is what gives him his bank. But you strip the goal out from underneath all this and the bank disappears and you find out he didn't need the goal in the first place. Which is all quite interesting. Well, consider that goal then a finite truth. You probably don't think so, but this is still a lecture on ARC breaks and TR4. It's finite truth. It was truth to this PC. It was actually self-postulated truth. And it never got acknowledged. But all around him, lies got acknowledged. And this baffled him. And if you listen to Thetan for a while, you'll find out really all he's protesting is the fact that lies get acknowledged, but truth doesn't. See, if you listen to him for a while, that's really all he's talking about. Whatever else he's saying, or however he's putting it, whether in Demosthenian oratory and logic, or no matter how colorfully or how dully or how whinishly or how meanly or how grandly he is putting it, that's what he is saying. He is saying truth never gets acknowledged and lies always get acknowledged. Some woman comes in and she says, and I lost my husband. And there I was, a good homebody, and I was sitting there doing everything I was supposed to do, you see, and so forth, and he left me for this little flirt that would never cook and would never do anything, you see, and you'll hear it going on and on along this particular line in some shade of gray of this argument. She, the wife, you see, was not acknowledged, and she was a true wife, but this flibbertigibbet that he ran off with, you see, well, he bestowed his whole fortune on her, and she was nothing but a cockeyed lie. And you just look over these various things, and you can generally trace through an argument these threads, the protest to the acknowledgement of lies, and the failure to acknowledge truth. And that is the basis of a Thetan's misemotion. These are the principles above his goal and back of his goal and around on which all Thetans operate. There are no exceptions to this. They all operate on these same buttons. You press A chord major and you get A chord major. And therefore, when you say to a Thetan in a session, I am not acknowledging or taking up the truth, he gets upset. And that's cleaning a clean read. And when you say to a Thetan that he's got something he hasn't got, he gets upset. Or that when he hasn't got something he's got, he gets upset. Because you're doing an alteriz of the facts. He's got a present time problem. You read the meter and tell him he doesn't have one. He's upset. It's a violation of the true state of affairs. See, you're acknowledging a lie here and not hitting the true state of affairs. So the Thetan doesn't have a present time problem and you tell him he's got one. Once more, you're acknowledging a lie and failing to acknowledge the truth. And he gets upset. And there's nothing makes a Thetan get more upset than that. It's alter isness. And there you get into all kinds of wild messes with a Thetan. Now do you see how prime postulate has a connection here and how it is definitely and intimately involved with reading the wrong meter read. You just hit right to the middle of his Thetanesque soul with a dagger of betrayal. He's got a present time problem. You tell him he hadn't got one. You didn't acknowledge it, did you? All right. He hasn't got a present time problem. You tell him he's got one. Everything goes to hell from there on. He gets very upset. because Thetanesquely he now wants to convince you of the truth of the situation. He's trying to impress you with the truth of the situation from that time. He then becomes the living crusader of truth. Capital T. Sword in one hand, torch in the other, you know. You haven't got a PC from this point on. You have a crusader for truth. And how do you get into that state? Well, it's very simple. You just miss a meter read. You clean a clean, or wrong call, a reaction. You get a reaction, say there's no reaction. You get clean, say there's a reaction. All you got to do is twist these 2 points, and you no longer have a PC. You've thrown him right into his most turbulent areas of action. He is now demanding that you do not acknowledge untruths. He is now crusading on the basis that we mustn't have more altars than we already got because it's put us in the position we are in. You've stepped all over his Scientological corns, if he's an auditor perhaps, but you don't have to have a trained Scientologist to have this mechanism. You go out and you get yourself some raw meat, and the fellow sits down and says, I've got ulcers. All right. Let's say for fun that he hasn't got ulcers. Let's say for fun what really is the trouble with him is every day he drinks insufficiently fermented wine and it upsets his stomach and gives him indigestion, see? And he knows this. He doesn't even have to know it up on the surface of his mind. You see, he got it all set. And he sits down and he says, I've got ulcers. And you say, all right, good, fine, thank you very much. You got ulcers, all right. Well, very good. Now, the best thing for us to do for you is to give you some Pepto-Bismol or barium meal and so forth, and we'll treat these ulcers, and if they don't get better, we'll operate on. He'll be mad as hell at you. How you won't quite be able to figure out, hey, what's going on here, see? Guy comes in, he has 1/10,000th of an inch of tissue left before perforation, see, of the ulcer. He's just on the verge, you know, he can still walk around, and he's got ulcers to all intents and purposes, man. And he comes down, and he sits down, he says, I haven't got ulcers, and you say, I agree with you perfectly, you haven't got ulcers. Boy, he will be mad at you. That's why you mustn't treat illnesses, because they're all lies. Guy comes in and says, I have a sore throat, I have a sore throat, I have a sore throat. You run something on him and the ridge moves. Yes, his throat is sore. That is a statement of truth. But he says, I have a cold. If he means by that, he is being attacked by virus or germs or something of the sort, and this is not the case. You can get yourself all involved in an ARC breaky situation by making him gargle. Very interesting. No one in the medical profession has to have law to support them. You see, this is under the heading of acknowledging the lie and ignoring the truth. Guy comes in, says he hasn't got ulcers. You say, I'll audit you. Fine. Make sure you do so, if you say so. He comes in and he says, I haven't got ulcers. Actually, it is just some pains that I get from drinking too much ketchup. And you say, good, I will audit you. You enter into the field of what is laughingly called diagnosis. You're in trouble. But oddly enough, as close as you can diagnose is guessing what he has done and running it out as an overt. And of course, it mustn't be forced on him that he has done it if he hasn't, because now you're really in trouble. you dream up a zero question. How about blowing up railway depots? He's never been near one in his life. And then insist that he find the overt. Oh, man, that session's going to go round and round and round. You're going to be in trouble the whole way. All right. Now, during the war, he was a light bomber force bombardier, and he was a specialist in blowing up railroad stations. In fact, he'd go out practically every night and blow up another railroad station. See? And you say, have you ever blown up a railroad station? That's no. We will go on to the next question. Everything kind of goes whirry and wheely in his skull. The cogs start to mismatch. He gets mad. He gets upset. He gets misemotional because of the same mechanism. He has blown up railroads. It isn't that you've failed to discover something about it. It's just that it isn't true. See? You've said, all right, you haven't blown up railroad stations when he has. Or you've said, all right, you've blown up railroad stations when he hasn't. Either way, you're acknowledging a lie and failing to acknowledge the truth. And you're on the direct line of a Thetan's favorite protest through the ages. And this, out of this, you get an ARC break. And that's what an ARC break is. It is an abandonment of truth and an acceptance of lies. And after that, you've got trouble. So when you misread a meter, you've hung the PC with one or the other. That's why you got to be able to read a meter every time and never miss. Because every time you miss, you've entered into the session the Thetan's favorite boogeyman. The acknowledgement of lies and the ignoring of truth. And you've just entered this into the session, and after that he blows his stack and he doesn't really know why his eyeballs keep going out a foot in his face and snapping back into the sockets, you see? But he knows he's upset. Well, that's the most fundamental upset there can be. Since out of that upset comes the whole construction and reversely the whole destruction, not only of universes, but of his own reactive bank. And you've hit right on the primary principle of construction of the reactive bank and of the universe. And you've hit right on why it is that way. And he doesn't like it being that way. And you have made the session agree with all of the slave tricks that have ever been pulled on him. So therefore, he has to protest against you. And up to that moment, you were his friend that was going to get him out of all this. And now you've pulled the trick that got him into all this. You see, you acknowledge the untruth, and you have failed to acknowledge the truth. And that was the trick that got him into all this in the first place. So he doesn't want to be in there again, so he tries to get out of that session. Sometimes very loudly. So that's why meter reading has to be 100%. That's why there is no substitute for good meter reading. And that's why in procedure you can occasionally flub, misread a question, do something like that, your TR0 go out or something like that. You don't upset the session to any great degree at all. But, brother, you dismissed that one read. It reacted, and you said it was clean. You have taken a bayonet and slashed clear back to the beginning of time with this PC and re-stimulated every protest he's had for 200 trillion years. So you get violence, of course. You can learn how to read a meter perfectly. Don't worry about it. It is doable. All I want to show you is the mechanism of what happens when you misread a meter and how that compares with 3GA and how your session and sessioning now is totally lined up with the actual principle of the mind. You are doing now what the mind is doing. You've got it exactly parallel. And so therefore you can spot any error that you commit, and the error is merely in that field. What the PC protests now is the most fundamental protest that a Thetan can make in a session. Because you are doing exactly in a session the parallel of what the mind has been doing, and therefore you're at extreme truth. This whole session, you're running extreme truth, and that PC can feel it. He knows you're running extreme truth, and then carelessly you introduce the needle that didn't react, and you say it did. You introduce the needle that reacted, and you said it didn't. And into that extreme truth, you introduce this untruth, and after that, you've got hell to pay. That's why PC's ARC break, and that's the direction that you have to take to repair sessions. You have to repair these introductions of untruth. Okay? Thank you.